Hello and welcome everyone to the Wild Runners podcast. Colin and Dan on as normal. How's your weekend going, buddy?
Yeah, it's going all right, mate. Nice little invite out yesterday to a Christmas fair.
Yeah,
by another fellow Wild Runner. Don't know if you know.
Mate, yeah, the only reason I went to that Christmas fair, mate, was for the German sausages they had there. That's why I timed my long run in the morning. So that's the only reason I went there.
Yeah.
And then queued for an hour to get my voice bloody face painted. Like Colin is spotting the queue whilst he was running off, going mental. So joy's apparent.
Yeah, it was a good day there, mate. Cheers for the invite up there. Yeah, just apart from that, it's just a long run today. Just a half marathon run to stretch your legs out. But feeling like rubbish at the moment, so just plodded along. What else have you been up to, bud?
I've decided I'm upgrading the home gym, so I'm going to get a treadmill in the new year and just sort of figuring out where everything's going to go. Going to get new flooring, paint the garage, just sort of like get it looking a bit more. Well, just not like an old garage, basically, with some stuff in. So that's the idea. Then hopefully Vicky won't chuck stuff in it and just trash it. So that's the plan. Don't think it'll work, but
and some outside lighting on your rig if you find an electrician to do it.
Yes, yeah, I will be doing a hole before I paint everything, so it's ready for you to come round and do that. Seeing as the person I bought the house off has done such a weird job with the electrics, I can't get the outside lights to work. So all fun and games.
Yeah, sorry for you, mate.
Yeah, nice one, legend. But we're joined by some proper professional podcasters this week. They're really going to push. No, we've got Ian and Alan from the UK OCR podcast on. How are you, gents?
We're all good. I'm not about professional though. We just make it up as we go along. We've just been making it up a bit longer than you. That's all.
You'll fit right in here, mate. Because that's all we do. You know, we just blag it each week, so you're absolutely fine.
Alan does protest too much. You know how many seconds of the day we spend on the podcast? At least 30. At least 30.
Oh, blimey. Well, that's 10 seconds more than what we do, so... thank you for coming on. And like I said, all I really thought was just come on, chat about podcasts and obstacle course racing. Do that for 5 minutes, then just, like I said, just chat a load of rubbish for a bit if you want. So that was the whole idea of it, but... I mean, I'd be amazed that anyone who listens to us doesn't listen to your podcast, because it's one of my literally weekly, you know, twice a week I will be listening to it. Sort of it's on the rotation. So I think you guys do a great job, you know, because it's got to be over 2 years now, hasn't it? You guys have been doing it.
Coming up to 2 years, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, I think you probably recorded the first ever shows around about this time. Do you want to tell the story of how you got going? Because it is an interesting story, Alan. I'll let you start and I'll jump in.
We got Obstacle Race in magazine doing. So Carl and Kevin did one. And I listened to that, and I used to listen to Matt B. Davis on Obstacle Race in Meadon. Those are the only two I ever used to listen to. And I think it's great when you're following something and you religiously want it to come out, don't you? So all of a sudden, I guess COVID had hit and everyone decided to stop doing podcasts, you know, and Obstacle Race magazine stopped it. And I just got Matt B. Davis. And I thought everyone stopped. Musticle had gone, Muddy Race has gone, everyone stopped. It just felt like it was me at that point. It wasn't just me, but it did feel a bit that way. And I thought, well, I need to do something for OCR to get it forward. And I thought, how hard can it be to do a podcast? So
Little did I know.
And so I reached out to Matt B. Davis and just said, Matt, I'm thinking about starting one. Can you give me any tips? And he were a legend, an absolute legend. And he went, well, let's see if you've got what it takes. And I went, what do you mean? He went, come on my podcast. I'm like, all right, then. I'll come on your podcast, see what I've got to take. And then he went, by the way, Ian's coming on. And I was like, Ian who? He went, Ian Kay. And I thought, well, I knew Ian from Solo Mudders, but not like, we'd never met in person. Or not that I can remember, had we, Ian?
I've met you. This is the weird thing that you find with people who are well known within the community. Yeah, Alan's been well known in the community for many, many years. You know, he's been running UK OCR. So I've met Alan. Alan had never met me. Does that make any sense, Colin?
Kind of. But I'm surprised at that, because I've just, from the get-go, listening to you two on the podcast, I thought you went back years.
Like, we hit it off. We hit it off right from start. You know, we're different characters, but we're also the same character. We have the same interests. We have the same thought process in many, many ways. I don't I won't say we always agree on 100%, but we agree on about 98% of things, you know. And we do things organically, you know. It's things that we do organically. And I do rely on Ian a lot. People don't know it, but Ian does an amazing job behind the scenes. He does so much for me that makes my job a lot easier. People just tend to think I'm the front man, and I am just the front man. But it's a whole team, and the team's growing. I mean, I don't know if you know, but we've got more people who've joined us. I'm not going to name them because that's not right. They don't want to be named, some of them, but there's people joining us. We've got a great network behind us now. And the UKOCR Facebook page and Instagram page, it's not one person anymore. You know, there's literally about 8 or 9 people who have access to that and post on that on a regular basis. And they all do it for free. And each and every one of them, I am so proud to. But going back to Matt getting us together, we just joined this podcast and I didn't know what the topics were or anything. And we just talked, didn't we? And I think we just took over Matt's podcast and then we got off it and he went, yeah, you two can do well. And that's where it started.
Yeah, I probably should go back a few steps and also explain how I ended up on Matt's podcast. But yeah, Alan's right. I think in the end, we'd gone on almost an hour and a bit. And Matt obviously had another appointment because you could just tell he was trying to wrap up the show about 3 or 4 times, which happens a lot when you get us on the show. So I'll apologise to your listeners in advance. This will be a long show. I don't even know at this stage, but it will probably be a long show. Right, I've been a fan of Matt for many, many years. This is Matt B. Davis. So I think I wrote him an email or a letter one day just... when I was quite naive, just because people used to do that. You'd write, you know, this was about 5 years ago. I'd only just found this crazy thing of OCR. God, it might have been 7 years ago. So I just wrote him about summer. He read it out on the podcast and we've been on and off ever since, just back and forth. Then I helped him a little bit when Tough Mudder went under. So because a lot of the action with Tough Mudder happened in the UK because of the way the UK insolvency law works, I just happened to be a lawyer that he knew in the UK, so I helped him out. So he messaged me once out the blue and said, have you heard of this guy called Alan Moore? Yeah, what do you think of him? Yeah, good guy. Well, he wants to set up a podcast. Cool. Can you help me? Yeah, sure. What do you need? And there was no actual set role. We had no clue other than bobbing on that podcast. I always joke that I was the American to Yorkshire translator. And I think in the early days I might have, because Alan says we're similar. Alan and Matt B are very, very similar. And they have a very similar personality, which means they can clash. Properly clash, but you can have a culture clash, Alan. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say, yeah. You was the referee in the middle of once or twice.
Yeah, so sometimes because you've got very great personalities and very is alpha. Are we still allowed to say alpha? Is that a cancelled thing yet?
I think you can still have an alpha culture. I think it's still an alpha culture.
Yeah,
Say what you want.
Well, yeah, but they're both alpha personalities, so they're very. Yeah, they're very good, very driven. And yeah, it just helped having someone there. And I was never meant to be an on-air talent. It was never actually meant to happen like this in any way, shape, or form. We were trying to, at one point, talk about auditioning for people to come on Alan, what became the Swift Half. Because Alan, you always wanted to have an interview show, yeah?
Yeah, it was always the interview show was the main one.
Yeah, and you also wanted to do a quite quick weekly news update. And we were trying to figure out who to have on it at one point. And we, as part of, so I was doing notes for you, helping with other things behind the scenes. And as part of that, we chatted a lot on the phone. And you decided to go on then, let's just see if it works. We'll record it one time and see if it works. And we recorded Swift Half episode 1. And it really didn't work. It was terrible. And a lot of that was we'd set ourselves up to fail. We'd decided it was going to be half an hour. We decided that we were going to cover all the news. And it was terrible because we didn't really talk much about it. We might as well have just been sat there reading stuff out.
Just doing the headlines.
Yeah, that's what it was like. That if you ever go back and listen to that first episode, it was just me and Ian reading the headlines, who won what, who did what, and there were no conversations whatsoever.
See, I can remember listening to the first thing. I can't remember exactly what it was like, because I to be honest, the Swiss Half is my favourite out of the two sort of obstacle course, you know, weekly shows that you do. So you obviously did something right, because I stuck with it, and other people have obviously stuck with it.
Is the most consistent in terms of downloads. We can kind of at the some do significantly better, but it does have a core audience, doesn't it, Alan? Whereas your interviews, it just depends.
The interviews can some can double what others do, but the stats on the on the Swift Half are just really constant. Except for this week, they're actually well down this week, but I think that's down to certain football match on. On Friday night that went off. So
yeah, I think the Swift Half was more entertaining.
Like I said, it was a storytelling one this week. It was like, I looked back and I was listening to it myself. I went running this morning. I was listening to it myself while I was running. And I was thinking, God, it was a storytelling one. It wasn't like, we do all like to tell the stories and have a bit of what's going off in his lives and that. But it was quite a good storytelling one, I felt.
Yeah, that was another thing we'd hamstrung ourselves on, hadn't we? Because early on, it was like, we're not really going to talk about us at all, which we don't really, but we just mention every so often. But yeah, the early episodes, we really hamstrung ourselves, and then we kind of just relaxed a little bit and it started to work. What, Alan? It was probably when we invited them pesky Scots on.
Yeah, we got Martin and Kevin on. I think that was the first time that we actually did a four-way podcast, wasn't it, with them two on?
I think you're right, because we were terrified of it, because Matt had always advised us against four-way podcasts or more than three people.
Yeah, and then this week I ended up doing a podcast with like 13 people on.
It really worked though. But I've not listened to it yet, so I don't know.
No one's listened to it apart from me.
You know what? That's actually something. I used to get spoiler episodes now. Now he makes me click like everyone else.
It's all about the clicking. It's all about the clicking.
But that used to be the only perk of this free labour. I got advanced copies.
Were you both nervous the first time you recorded a podcast on on your own or together, like the first time you did it without Matt?
My very first interview, I interviewed Kate Pierce, who's only got, I don't know Kate, but she's disabled. She's only got one hand, but she's an OCR racer and she's a mountain biker and everything else. And that was my first episode. And I was nervous. Katie was nervous. And I guess it came across a little bit on that first one. By the time I'd done three or four, I was getting into it. But I also did another, I think my second or my third interview, and I don't want to name the guy's name, but I was nervous with him and he was nervous. And I gave it to Ian and said, Ian, can you listen to this? And he was like, that can't go out. And it was because the whole episode was, and we actually re-recorded it about 3-4 weeks later. And it was a much better episode.
Yeah.
And the good news is we've re-recorded a fair few episodes. So no one is going to be back home thinking, oh, was that me? It probably wasn't. Because we have recorded a fair few episodes. Because sometimes it just doesn't work. You're in podcasting. You probably have recorded stuff that you just think back and think, you know what, that just didn't gel.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two episodes that I can think of where I've sat and thought, I'm not feeling it. Obviously, again, Dan knows. But the first few times we did it, I was bricking it. Like, and it's stupid because I talk for a living. I work in sales. I'll happily stand up and present in front of hundreds of people. That doesn't faze me at all. But talking on here with someone I don't really know, it was nerve wracking the first couple of times. I think you found it as well, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, it's totally out of my comfort zone. So I'm day to day electrician. So I probably don't talk to many people during the day. But yeah, it's hard, and over the times I found it a lot easier, but it's just, you find some conversations just flow really easy. Mm-hmm. And then you do get some people come on, you're like, cool, this is hard work. We've got to try and think outside the box here to get the conversation flowing.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something you learn over time, and it's the time scheduling as well. That's some of them you can just go on and on and on, and you think, people are going to get bored listening to this. So they're just little yeah. things that we've picked up over time.
Yeah, that's it.
One of my little tricks when I get someone who's on nervous, I try and take it away from whatever the topic's going to be. So if you ever listen to Scotty PT, so Scotty PT was quite nervous when he came on. So we talked about in the background, he had a fish tank and we talked about tropical fish for about 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And I do that. If you ever noticed with some of my interviews, they don't always start about OCR or whatever they're doing. They sometimes start with something completely different. David Bird, we talked about him being world champion boxing. And I just find getting someone to talk about something else beforehand, then you ease them into it. It just makes it a little bit better, but for a better experience for both of you.
Yeah. And what I think it's just a case of saying it's a conversation. Like like we said to you before, we have zero questions written down. It's literally, obviously, in our minds, we know where we kind of want to go, but we don't have a list of questions to sort of, it's not an interview, like a job interview sort of thing. It's just more, come on, have a chat, and then see where the conversation goes. And that a lot of people have said that they found that style so easy to just to work with and listen to as well. So I think it's definitely the way forward, doing it like that.
That's my biggest gripe when I'm critiquing other podcasts or anything else for that matter. And you even hear it, Alan, you probably do this, even when I'm listening to the radio, when I'm listening to Radio 4, I can now tell the difference between what I perceive to be a good interviewer and a bad interviewer. Do you do that, Alan?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And I listen for tricks. I don't know, I tell people this now, but I listen to about 8 to 9 podcasts a week, like from all different things. I'm recently started listening to rock radio. I don't know if you heard of rock radio, but the DJs, and they're in New Zealand, but they do a lot of UK stuff and they tell funny stories and all of that. But, and I listen to it, and I'm not necessarily listening to the podcast because of the content. I'm listening to podcasts for what can I get out of this that's going to help me do better at podcasting.
I think one of the best lessons, well, I've had a couple of lessons that I would share. One is the older one, in that God gives you 2 ears and 1 mouth. So there's nothing
worse. Did you get that, Ian?
Yeah. Yeah, you're old now, Alan. You've only got 1 ear that works. But yeah, so many podcasters will have a list of questions written out and they will just go through them line by line by line. And they never actually listen to what is being said back to them.
Yeah.
And that's where you're mocking the level of notes we do for Alan earlier. Most of them won't actually get used because they'll go off on a tangent and they're literally there so that if the conversation dies a little bit, he has something to go back at. So many people will make this mistake of just having a long list of questions and just going through. The other thing is, and this is my favorite, is when you're doing something, there are 3 ways to kind of succeed or to advance. There is being better than your competition, for lack of a better description. There's being worse than your competition, or there's being different. Being better is often hard because for whatever reason, they're good for a reason. Being worse, well, you don't want to set yourself up to fail. That's difficult. So that leaves being different. Always look at what everyone else is doing and try and be slightly different. Mm-hmm. And that's not if you're doing an OCR podcast, don't suddenly talk about rugby sevens.
Well, exactly.
To be fair, that's probably a Swift half conversation anyway. But yeah, it's if you're doing a OCR podcast, actually, I'll take it away from OCR. Say you're doing a rugby podcast and everyone is talking about, I don't know, the results of the World Cup. Well, why not talk about the players? Just something slightly different.
Yeah.
And again, that is because I listen to a lot of podcasts like Alan does, and so many sound the same.
But we're always looking to do something different. So, you know, you look at the Swift R podcast. I mean, there's no other podcast out there in OCR that has as many guests coming into the pub as what we do. It's something that's different. And the podcast that's coming out this Monday, the World's Toughest Mudder Review, we have 13 people on a Zoom call all talking about World's Toughest Mudder. I was so nervous in terms of how are we going to handle 13 people, but we did. And it's like, I think it's come out pretty good. But this, I mean, like I said, we've nearly been on it for 2 years now and always trying to look for that extra bit of difference. Not you don't want to you don't want to shit on your opponents, you know, on your fellow guests. So we'll always jump on any podcast like this one and help them out, and we'd have them on our podcast, and we do that quite a lot, you know, swapping guests, swapping hosts, sorry. You've just got to be different. To succeed, you've got to be different, because some people like apples, yeah? Well, a lot of people like apples, but only some people eat red ones, and only some people eat green ones, yeah? Yep. You've got to try and cater for everything, but be different.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but someone we had on, this guest said, why do you want me on? I'm not a elite athlete. And after the conversation I'd had with her over Wild Runners, I was like, your story is actually more inspirational than any elite athlete you're ever going to find. And I'd actually rather listen to and talk to the everyday people that do it, because if I want to listen to elite athletes, there's a load of podcasts I can go out and find for elite athletes to listen to. But there's not many that tell the story of the everyday people that go out and do what we do. And that's what I think we've kind of, I don't know, consciously or subconsciously ended up sort of doing through, you know, through the Wild Runners community. That's sort of the type of people we end up having on and enjoy talking to.
It needs to be an interesting story. So yeah. I'm not going to name the, because I'll do a quick plug now, because we like plugging, Alan. It's what we do. But we've got another podcast called the Fitness Racing Podcast, which is all for your Hyrox, your Deca type of things. And I was telling this story to Alan. A particular person who's very famous within that realm did reach out to us. It's actually nice to get reached out to, but it doesn't happen that often. But they reached out to us, but there was no story there. There was absolutely no story. It was just, oh, look, we've managed to get this famous person on. So I started to think of a story, and I have one, but I'm just waiting for certain things to happen, and then we can have them on. But just getting them on for the sake of it, all athletes have a similar story. It's about finding the interest. I think, Alan, did we fall into this trap in the early days where we had a lot of people who had the same experiences, and you just turn around to me and say, oh, I know the name of OCR, insert here, story here.
Yeah.
And we've therefore looked to kind of shift who we're having on.
It's a tough balance, I guess. UK OCR has got a bit of a name in terms of its UK OCR. That brand, UK OCR, people expect us to have the best of the best on and that. And we don't always want the best. We want people like you guys, you know.
Yeah.
You're wanting everyone's story. And if someone out there has got a story, we will have them on the podcast, irrelevant of what they've done, where they've come in races. You know, right from start, we always set that out that we would, you know, when our intro, it's like, you know, we'll speak to anyone. That's what it says. We will speak to anyone.
Yeah.
I still love the fact that we've kept the, quite frankly, anyone who happens to talk to us. That's just amazing. But it's like, it's always fascinating, the ones that hit and the ones that get reactions, because it's not always ones you expect. Like, I think Shane, we got a lot of traction on, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, what was it? Was it Jess Haney was our most listened to last year?
Yeah, Jess Haney was most listened to, but Michelle Keogh, Michelle's a good runner, don't get us wrong, she's a great runner, but I think we talked about 10 minutes of running in an hour and 10-minute podcast, and it was like, people loved it.
That was a podcast where I'm pleased I wasn't running listening to it, because some of the things she came out with, I was in stitches and I would have had to stop running to laugh. Like, some of the stuff she came out with was absolutely brilliant.
That's an edited version. That was an edited version. It went on for like much longer than
I dread to think what was taken out. Oh, I think you should release that at some point. Christmas special, what was taken out of that podcast, but maybe put you know, an age rating on it or something. disclaimer to start off with. But no, it was good. What do you think is the best thing that's come out of your podcast? Like, so, you know, I don't know how I mean it. What's been your happiest moment since doing the podcast that you've been able to bring to someone or the community with it?
Ooh, that's a good one, that, Ian.
You know what? Do you want me to take part of it?
Go on, you take.
I loved how engaged the community got with the awards.
Yeah.
And I also loved how, although we're still a small community, it's starting to grow a little bit as well. And I know that Wild Runners is the large reason for that, but I think we have a teeny tiny part to play in it too, Alan.
Did you guys hear him? I lost him then.
Oh, did you lose me? Great.
Yeah. we heard you clear.
You heard me clear? Yeah. Oh, dear. But yeah, for me, that was the happiest. What about you, Alan?
as I said, when we started it, I said I had one goal, and that was to bring OCR back, to bring the community back. And I think at this moment in time, we are very close to doing it. I've got more involved with Tough Mudder community. You know, you invited me down to ETM. ETM's probably my highlight. ETM so far is probably my highlight of doing this. Going to ETM, knowing a few people, but meeting so many people that have now become friends. I could call friends, I can go and meet them. We're absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I think there's more to come. I think the awards next year is going to really push us forward. And we're involved with stuff without being involved. Like, we don't have to. We can pick and choose what we want to talk about. We can pick and choose whether we want to promote something and that, which, you know, I won't say we don't promote anyone, because if anyone comes and asks us, we do it anyway. But it's the whole thing that we've built a community. The community is built back up. During COVID, it was down on its backside, and now it's built back up and it's still going. And the awards are going to be the culmination of it all. I think that's going to be my highlight. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, you mention it. Yeah, every time we head out to an event, I do love those days. I love DTM. We don't do enough of it because of money and various other things. But High Rocks Manchester, that was also fun, if you remember, Alan.
Oh, yeah. The filming, we met everyone wanted to come to talk to us, and like, that was when we had his first press bibs, wasn't it? We've got bibs now, high-vis jackets that say press on them. It was like, we like this.
anything like that. And I managed to keep my anonymity for the most part. People still go to Alan, and that's what I've tried as hard as I can.
Didn't someone actually think you was me at some event?
I get asked, I react to Alan now, because that's what I often get called. I think that might have been Conquer Fitness. I think
it's good that I guess we're getting recognised. Yeah, I think the highlight for me is the community's coming back, and we've been part of building that community back up.
Carry on, Ian.
I was going to say, there's lots of highlights, isn't there?
Oh, there's so many. I could go through loads. I could go through hundreds of highlights.
Open a Pandora's box, because there's also the thing that we recognise that High Rocks was going to grow a little, which is why we did the spin-off. But that's now feeding back into the OCR community as well. So people who've done High Rocks are doing OCR. And yeah, people who are doing ultra runs are now doing OCR as well, because for a time we were really into the last backyard ultras, but we've kind of, I'm not going to say we've come away from it, it's just so hard to find out details about these, because Laz like sends them out on a postcard or something like that. It's quite hard to keep up with Last Man Standing, isn't it, Alan?
It is, but I think where the OCR is going at the moment, it's hard to keep up with any other form of running apart from OCR, because we come up with our notes. We look at our note sheet on Foot Swift Arf, and on a Sunday it can be empty, and then on a Wednesday it could have like 30, 40 items on it. It is really, you know, the stories that are instantly coming out constantly, it's so hard to catch up. We try not to do stories as we record on a Wednesday, we and it goes out on a Friday. We try to not put stories in that up and then, because it's like, it's old news, if you like. You know,
yeah.
We might not have talked about them, but it's old news. Everyone knows about it. So we only start trying to put stories in from Saturday onwards. And there's just so much going off in OCR.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, how do you think OCR's been since sort of it opened back up? Do you think it's back to where it was? Do you think there's still some work left to do?
I think there's work left to do. I think there's so many good people pulling in the right directions. I mean, James Burton's helped us no end, but the whole of British Obstacle Sports has. You know, we did the virtual awards last year with their help. You know, we've done the UK OCR series this year with their help. You know, we're doing UK OCR series next year with their help, and the awards is, again, with their help. But actually, I guess we've got a really good relationship with British Obstacle Sports, as we actually bounce backwards and forwards off each other. There's many times when they'll come to me and we're only members. We are only members of British Obstacle Sports. We don't sit on the board. We don't sit on the panel. We don't want to do that, because if we want to criticise someone, we want to criticise someone, yeah, because we feel our criticism will make that person better. And we have criticised British Obstacle Sports sometimes, and we've criticised probably every other company, you know what I mean? But for us, it's constructive criticism. We're not doing it to burn bridges down, and people understand that now. You know, it's like we're doing it because we want the sport to grow. But I think it's still got a long way to go to pre-COVID. I think there's a lot of trust got to be built back up again in terms of, if you remember when COVID hit, we'd all got money in races that went under, you know, and we all lost hundreds of pounds. And I think it's so hard for events now to get back to that level, because there's a lot of people that have even moved on. They've gone away from obstacle course racing because we couldn't do it for 2 years, but road running could still go ahead. So they moved a little bit into road running, you know, or whatever running they moved into, because they could still do that thing. But because of COVID, we couldn't touch obstacles other people had touched without it being sanitized first.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
I think the bigger races are getting closer and closer to being back. Like Tough Mudder and Spartan are gradually getting back up to, particularly in the UK, to pre-COVID levels. And some of the bigger ones, I don't have the figures for Nuclear or Nuts, but they look incredibly popular, as they always do. What we're missing is replacements for what I call the soft middle. You know, so your Ramrons, your Airfield Anarchies, your Reapers, your Rockets, your Zeuses, they've gone away and haven't been replaced by anything similar. So to me, OCR in the UK has always been three-pronged. You have your big races, or maybe four-pronged. You have your Tough Mudders and your Spartans at the top. You then have what I'll call the location races, like your Nuclear and Nuts. They're not going anywhere. Then right at the bottom, you've got what I'd call your charity runs, which most people won't hear about until the day before they happen, and they're a source of much frustration for us. And then you've got this soft middle, which is, well, it used to be about the £40-£50 mark for a race. It's probably about the £50-60, maybe even £70 now. And we've not got them back yet, and we need them back.
It's hard though, isn't it? Sorry, Alan.
We have so many characters, like, you know, like Ian Exeter at Ramrun, you know, Gavin and Mark at Zeus, them type of characters, like, really pushed OCR. You wanted to go and do that race purely because they were involved with it.
Yeah. But you see, I see overload like that, Alan. You know, I know you don't like talking about overload on on your podcast, but you're on ours now, so I will happily plug it for you. Just how, like I've said numerous times, how you handled the COVID registration. That's like, I personally remembered that. So when I went there, I was like, I'm going every year now, providing I can, and it's a great race. And it's like, I think how people handled it, a lot of people will remember that now, because obviously they haven't had their fingers burned from it. So I think that's been quite important.
100%. We overload when COVID hit. We gave out. I spoke to Will Chung. He was my sounding board then. And I said, Will, I'm thinking about giving everyone a refund, just blanketing refund. He went, just go out to some of them and say, who wants a refund? And if not, they can carry it on to following you. He says, you're not going to spend money, are you? I went, no, it'll just sit in my bank account. He went, we'll just do that. So I did. I went out and said, who wants a refund? Who wants to carry on? A few people wanted refunds. I'm not going to lie. Some did. 85% decided to stay with us, you know, and just carry it forward to whatever year. But the people I gave refunds to, I think nearly all of them came back when we launched it back up again. I think there was probably just that little bit sceptical. They were thinking, is it going to go under? Isn't it going to go under? Because we're not a big race, you know. I hate to think how much money I've lost on it, you know, but I lose it. I just enjoy putting it on. It's just like, it's the highlight of it, you know, the whole week of being away with one of my buddies and other mates coming down and helping out and, you know, and building it and that. And the farmers are a great bloke, you know, the landowner's an amazing bloke. I just love it. And the new event, the Farmyard Jam, I'm right up for this. This is like, you know, it's a, I guess it's a bit of a make or break for us, because if this doesn't work in Farmyard Jam, it will just be overload going forward. This Farmyard Jam's got to work for us this year, for us to do it again next year, because it's not such an expensive event, but it's not a money-making event. It's got to break even as a minimum. Last year, it didn't. We lost money, but it was a bit of more of a test event last year. But it was such a good test event that we had to bring it back and that.
I really hope it's a success for you, because it's something that I'd love to have a crack at, but unfortunately I'm on a ban from booking any more races for next year. So, and I think trying to sneak in a last man standing that could go on for God knows how long, I'm not going to get away with that. So
it's going to go 48 hours. It's going to go 48 hours because we're allowing teams in.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll get a four-man team that do a relay. They'll go the full 48 hours. So if you're a solo and you want to go out and run for as far as you possibly think you can for 48 hours, you can do it. Mm. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have other people on the course. The event will stop either at the 48-hour mark or when there's no one on the course running. That's when the event stops for me, whichever comes first. But I think it's going to be 48-hour mark. I've told everyone, be prepared for 48 hours.
Oh, and is that a money issue or a time issue in terms of banning from races?
A wife issue.
Okay.
As in you're buggering off too much, leave me with a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old. So
Alan, any tips? Because you've had a few. So is there any tips on how he deals with wife issue?
I guess when I'm not running, I give my wife 110%. There's not a case of I don't come home and don't do anything, you know what I mean, and then flutter around. I come home, anyone knows me, they know I am the cook in the house, so I do all the cooking. I take her out twice a week if I can. I really try and spoil her and things like that and give her as much time as I possibly can. So that when I do want to go away, because a couple of times now mine are full weekends away. So I've got an 100-miler coming up, I've got ETM coming up and things like that. So they are full weekends away. So it's tough. But I call them brownie points. Get your brownie points in so that you can use them. Stock up on them brownie points.
Yeah, no, to be fair, I understand where she's coming from because I'm doing all the Spartan races, a few other races I've got booked in. Overload, obviously, when it goes on sale, that's already been penciled in. That's happening. but also, because I want to do the Wayne Wrights next year, I'm disappearing up into the Lake District, and that's like multi-day, you know, trips away. So it's kind of like, yeah, fair enough. I won't do as many races. I took the piss this year. I did a lot of races, so yeah, I can understand where she's coming from, particularly with a 5-year-old under at the moment, a 5-month-old. So it's a lot. So, and that, you know, so yeah. But anyway, I do hope the 5-mile jam is a success because it is something I want to have a crack at, because I think it's such a clever idea. Obviously, you know, the Backyard Ultra has been around a while now, but putting an obstacle course race onto it, just where you've done it sort of at the end and giving people the option of an extra running part or doing the obstacles, it gets me thinking about tactics and what have you. You know, I don't ever do it as a team, to be honest. I probably wouldn't do it. You know, we were talking about it at one point, weren't we? Because to be fair, we know a couple of crazy bastards who'd be up for doing something like that.
I think it will evolve into a lot of people doing it in pairs. I don't think there'll be many singles going, you know, if it goes four, which I hope it really does, I don't think there'll be many singles doing it. I think it would be pairs and teams of four. Very much like Thunder Run. When you go to Thunder Run, there's very few solo runners do Thunder Run. It's all teams. It's all four-man teams and that. But you're right. I mean, when me and Jamie, because Jamie's my partner in it, we were talking about it, and we said, what do we do? Because we wanted a Backyard Ultra, you know, style event, but we're obstacles, you know, Overload is obstacles. And we just said, well, at mile three, why don't we just make a shortcut, cross up, do obstacles to the finish line? And it just evolved from that. But last year, we had Linda Johnson. She just ran every lap. She didn't do any obstacles, Linda. But then we had Shelley, who did every obstacle. So Shelley and Heather, I think Heather did every obstacle as well. So she did every lap in an obstacle. But the winner, Colin, he mixed it up. He didn't know what he was going to do until he came to obstacle section. And he just said he befriended how he felt. He just, yeah, he might just go for another run. And that, and yeah, they're amazing.
And Colin also won the Best Forrest Gump Impersonator Award for the time where he'd literally just got dressed in a dress shirt. I think he was sleeping for like 15 minutes, wasn't he? It was getting very close, so he just had to run in a dress shirt. And I think about 15 minutes sleep really helped him.
Yeah, it put in a super quick lap. He'd been running at a steady 50-minute pace, I think, for about 4 or 5 laps. So each lap we're running at 50 minutes, he'd have 10-minute recovery. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he just went out and just did 32 minutes. So he went out and did 32 minutes, 3-mile and obstacles, and then just went and slept for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when he woke up, someone had to wake him up, what next lap? He was gone, proper gone. And his wife had to wake him up. So Jane woke him up and he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he just grabbed this Forrest Gump T-shirt, and he had this red hat on as well, and it just purely looked like Forrest Gump while running in our race. It was like so surreal.
Alan, I'd like to circle back, actually. I know Colin might have a question, but you mentioned Will earlier, and I don't think Will gets half as much credit as he really deserves when it comes to successive podcasts, because he's a sounding board, he's a confident for both of us, isn't he?
Without a doubt, yeah. He's, you know, and he's the host of Who's Odds. But yeah, he grounds us, Will. Very often, you can reach out to Will with some of the best ideas, and he just grounds you, or I think they're the best ideas, and then he'll say, have you thought about this? And he gives us good feedback on his podcast as well, doesn't he? He's not afraid to tell us if we've made a mistake, which is good, where some people don't, you know. You can put someone out there and everyone's going, oh, great podcast, and then we'll all pipe up and go, I don't think it will. you got this sound level were wrong to that sound level and that sound level. And then I'll go back and I'll listen to myself and I go, why didn't I realise that when I'd edited it? So yeah, it gives us some amazing, it's great to us. Will's brilliant.
Yeah, and it helps that he can like you say, he has that ability to step back, doesn't he? But sometimes when you're so close to it and... believe it or not, I can occasionally get passionate about things. I know it never comes across like that, but there are certain things that really wind me up. And I've never seen Will get wound up ever about anything. He just has this ability to detach himself from a situation. Ironically, I always get wound up on behalf of other people. It's never anything that's happened to me, but if someone's treated Alan really, really badly, yeah, Alan is probably not that bothered about it, and I'm getting so wound up about it. It's almost comical. And then we've got Wilver, who just steps in and helps. And we've got the intern as well.
Yeah, Jen does loads for us. She made our Instagram go double. She doubled our Instagram followers, so...
We need to give it a little bit more attention as well recently, don't we? We've slacked off a little bit, but we'll pick it up again.
Yeah, it's hard work though, isn't it? I don't think people realise how much hard work goes into a podcast and then having an online community as well. You know, there's so much. I mean, obviously, Dan's been working on a sort of community, joined up with. Well, do you want to tell it, Dan? You can announce it if you want.
Yeah, so we've joined up. We helped a few months ago, we helped a young boy who's got neurodiversity. So we helped him, you know, promote his fundraising and stuff like that. Done a little challenge within the Wild Runners community. So his like main character thing is a dinosaur. So we got all the community together to go out on one of our runs on a Friday, take a dinosaur with them, all take photos. So our feed was like just full of dinosaurs for the day. And I thought actually that was really cool, and you know, it made a massive difference to him. So the last few weeks I've been working like tirelessly, to be honest, going backwards and forwards with his mum, messaging. So we've got a new challenge set up that we're going to run throughout December. And hopefully that's going to raise enough money for him to get these information packs to local schools to help people understand ADHD and all stuff like that. But it's like going back to what you're saying, how you put so much time and effort into it. You know, you're giving up your free time, you know, I don't know about you guys, but we make zero money out of any of our stuff.
Nah.
But it's just, you know, I enjoy it. I love the podcast, chatting to people, getting to know their stories. And then you just meet so many different people through your social medias and stuff. And it's just really eye-opening as well, the stuff you see and read.
100%. I mean, me and Ian funded first year ourselves, you know. We've now got a little bit of merch out there, but it's all self-funded. It is self-funded.
That's a funny story, isn't it, Alan? How many times have you had people going up to you say, oh, you're doing all right, aren't you, with the podcast, thinking that there's a magic money tree that just by putting a podcast out, yeah, I don't know, ITV or BBC are sending you money. For record, this actually has probably cost me, podcasts probably cost me more than races in the last 2 years. It's quite expensive and time intensive. People often ask, it helps that both me and Alan don't sleep a lot. So yeah, my alarm will go off usually at 5 a.m. So I'll probably sneak in doing some notes whilst waiting for the intern to get ready, etc. Alan, I know you're the same because you go to the gym, but whilst you're at the gym, you're thinking it's amazing where you find time from.
You just magically make it up, you know. I think I do sometimes. I think I've got 28 hours in a day. But yeah, and then as you guys know, we don't just do this. We're still runners, so we still have to train. We've got full time jobs. It's a really tough balance. It is a tough balance,
but it's so rewarding. Particularly, you will circle all the way back. You're talking about your guest who didn't think she was interesting. Nothing gives me greater pride than you get someone who doesn't want to be on, not that they don't want to be on the podcast, but that they're very nervous about it and you're having to negotiate with them and it goes really, really well and you lift their profile. I joked about anonymity. I can't even say that word earlier, but what I think, what me and Alan try to do is we're promoting everything except us. We're trying to promote the people who come on our show. Yeah, we try and promote the races. Yeah, whether or not they actually want that promotion, we've no clue, have we, Alan? You know, some we, you know.
They don't pay us. All the shout-outs we give, we don't get a single kickback, single payment from any of them. It's, you know, we have to go sometimes cap in hand with the awards. We, you know, we're trying to get sponsors for the awards and we go out cap in hand, you know, and say...
Hey, well, hang on a sec, because when you shouted out our September challenge, I gave Ian 50 quid. Did he not pass any of that on to you, Alan? Because I think you need to have a conversation with him about that.
How do you think I paid for Overlord? I really wish people would, but no, it's a hobby, and it's nice that people get something out of it. It's nice. Yeah, yes, there's frustrations, like the guests that don't realize you don't do it for a full-time job, and you ask them for time they can do, and it's like, oh well, can you do 11:30 a.m. on the second Friday of the month, and that's all I can do it for. And yeah, it's like, I can't. I work full time, and some guests have got really shirty about that, Alan. I don't know. Have you experienced that?
They haven't got shirty. I've got people, because as you know, I record on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays and Thursdays are my recording days. I agreed that with wife. You were talking about Brownie Points the other day, that Wednesdays and Thursdays are recording days, and I have other days with her. And you'll get some people who go, well, I can't do Wednesdays or Thursdays. So I'm like, okay, what about Sunday evening? No, I can't do Sunday evening. I can only do certain times through the day. And I'm like, well, in that case, then we're just not going to get a time when we can do it. We're not that important that people should bend to us. We will try and bend to them. But in the same sentence, I don't think there's really anyone. Maybe if John Alban decided he was going to come on, I might bend and take a day's holiday or something like that. But yeah, yeah. He'd probably be the only one. Or...
But ironically, the more famous people are, they tend to be really easy to book on.
Yeah, they do.
You probably have this with your show, and I'm not in any way signing off any guests we've had on our show at all. But yeah, sometimes it's people you are doing a favour for who are hard to get on. It's weird.
Yeah.
Ryan Atkins, I gave him times that we normally record, and he went, yeah, no problems. And literally, he jumped on. He was out skiing. He just jumped on in his car just to record. He was out skiing through the day. Just, you know, and it was like that type of person. You know, like as Ian says, the higher they up they are, the more famous they are, the more willing they are to bend, because that's their day job. They want the exposure. That is their job. The more exposure they get, they know their profile is going to be raised.
Mm. But saying that, I think we've managed to get probably 99% of people who want to be on the show. We can get them on generally.
Yeah, there's not many. I can't really think of anyone we've not worked with. Some are harder to tie down than others, that's all.
No, some are. And yeah, and often, yeah, it becomes a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe subconsciously you make it into a good show. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. But yeah, but no, I do really like when you get a great episode, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And you can normally tell, can't you, during the episode that, you know, I think just if everyone on it is engaged and going back and forth, you're like, yeah, this is, you just enjoy it in the moment. That's how you know, don't you?
Yeah, like we know already that this one's not going to see the light of day.
No, no, that's
I'm not going to say this at all. I'm just going to delete it, put it in the trash.
We're just being polite, you know, just keep carrying on talking.
We're making it last longer so that, you know, like when it comes to actually, you know, your publisher is going to charge you a little bit more because it's a little bit longer. That's all we're doing here for. We're trying to bankrupt you at the same time.
What you're going to be doing is making Dan stay up later so it downloads it. You're not costing me anything. You know, I'll be going downstairs watching an episode of Yellowstone after this. It's fine.
Oh, you didn't ask us that, but I'll answer the question anyway. The dislikes about podcasting, using Zoom and waiting for it to download.
Yeah. Do you have problems with that?
They don't seem to have had many problems with it, to be honest.
It just, how long does yours usually take?
What, to upload after?
No, to download. So when we stop recording now, how long will it take?
It's probably 10, 15 minutes.
I need better internet.
do you download it to your computer, Dan, or to the cloud?
Yeah, just to my computer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mine takes about 10, 15 minutes, Ian.
I need better internet.
you can't leave it though. If you go when your computer switches off for 7 minutes, I get up in the morning, turn my computer back on, and it's still at 50% because it hasn't completed it.
Yeah, I have to keep pushing the mouse around just so it fires back up.
I know we're probably looking to wrap it up, but can I ask a question?
Feel free.
Colin and Dan, how did you guys start this podcast? Because I've not listened to everything you've put out, so you might have told this story previously, but I'm genuinely curious. How did you guys get going?
So it was probably more your idea, wasn't it, Colin?
Yeah, and it was just more through the wild. Obviously, Dan set up the wild runners and then asked me to sort of get involved with it. And just some of the people that we were engaging with, I just thought, like, there's some good stories there. And I personally like to get to know them a bit. We were still kind of in lockdowns when we first started doing it. You know, you couldn't really go out and just say, yeah, do anyone want to go out and meet for a run or go for a beer or go to a race? So we just started doing this and just carried on. Obviously, we kind of focus on Spartans a lot of the time because obviously that's what both me and Dan sort of tried to compete in, I would say.
Turn up.
And a good mate of ours, Jay, he's always really good value for money on it. So, like, it's quite fun doing them because it's basically just us three. We could be sat in a pub probably talking exactly the same way, but we just happened to do it on this and record it. So, yeah, that's really where it started from. We've had a few people request to come on to it as well. Yeah, that's kind of it, really. There's no magic formula or anything like that. No sort of greater, you know, doing it for the greater good or anything. It was more just, I think it'll be quite an interesting thing to do, and we've stuck with it.
Yes, it's all your fault for meeting me and Snowden, really, wasn't it? That's when we first started chatting, and then you came up with this idea.
It's Mud 7's fault because it was cancelled. That's why I ended up going to Snowden that day.
Oh, Mud 7, I miss it.
I know, I do. Someone's going to bring back Mud 7. I mean, they said they were going to bring it back, right? I mean, that's another conversation that we hadn't had. It was up for sale not long since.
That's true. Yeah, we actually tried to help in selling it and never got anywhere, did we? But
no, we didn't, no. No.
Making things happen.
Not selling it to us, by the way. We wasn't buying it.
Oh, God, no. No, Alan is quite happy with the race he's putting on, and I'm quite happy with the money I spend on the podcast. I don't need another money pit to chuck anything into. So yeah, no, I'm fine there. But we do need, actually, James Burton, you're probably listening to this show because I'll email it to you if you're not. Yeah. James, we need the thing that Mud 7 did, which was almost like a midsummer night, well, a midsummer group of OCR people just getting together. It almost was like a convention. It was like a running show, but outside.
Well, that's what it started with, an OCR expo. The very first one had about 30, 40 stands there.
And yeah, we need that. And I enjoyed it. And for no other reason than it allows me to make my, quite frankly, hilarious joke. It's a Jedi convention with everyone in dry robes. That's true.
I think with Mud 7, if you could combine it with what they did at Dirty Weekend, obviously having like the after party, I think there's something there to do that. You know, I think there's definitely a space in the market to do that where people get together, do a race or go out and just have a laugh during the day out on the course. And then, I mean, have a bit of a party in the evening. I think there's something, I think there's a gap in the obstacle course calendar for something like that.
I definitely agree. It's just so expensive to have a concert though, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing, was it? Airfield's Anarchy, they had it, didn't they, with Scouting for Girls and somebody else. Kind of, Darkness do Airfield?
I think Darkness was Rat Race, Dirty Weekend, the last one that we both missed, and it sounds like we did well.
Yeah, you did well.
I refused to go in the tent whilst the Darkness were on, put it that way. I completely refused to. I waited till Chris Moyles came on before I went in there.
From what I understand, they refuse to really do much either. So I think that you're in a game of Mexican standoff.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first one I'd ever done. And it's a shame because if it was still going, I wouldn't go back and do another one. I wasn't impressed.
Many years ago, I reached out to... Do you guys remember Dash of the Titan?
No.
Dash of the Titan was one based in Nottingham, and I had something to do with that. I was like I was race director. They employed me as a race director. And I reached out to something called Fake Festival. Have you ever heard of Fake Festival? So Fake Festival is like, you know, like you'd have Oasis, but these are a bit Ovasis, yeah? But they're like really, really good. And they have massive festival. I mean, it literally, they will attract 10,000-15,000 people to their festivals. Bit like, you know, like a Glastonbury, but a bit smaller. And I reached out to them to see if they wanted to put something on together. You know, because they also did smaller ones. They were just a one night concerts with like four bands on, and they were able to attract about 1,000 people. But they wanted before any tickets were sold, just to be able to come and put it up, they wanted a minimum of £50,000. So that's a lot of tickets to be selling. Yeah. to put it on. That was their cost just to put the event on with four bands, with the stage, the lighting, everything else. They were looking at £50,000. So that's a huge amount. But, you know, you're right. It'd be great to have an event on like that. But where would you put it? You know, you've got, there's nowhere it can go. You know, unless it's an open event.
Alan, I've got a good mate who's really good on his house music and his decks. If you want to put something on the overloads, I'll tap him up and see if he'll come in. I'll get to DJ for you in the evening. We'll try and get some lights sorted and have a rave in the farmer's field. Take it back to the early 90s.
We can say one with Nolan.
Yeah, because Nolan's is a... Mike Nolan used to be a raver, didn't he? Like a rave dancer. Big fish, little fish.
Nolan's got moves.
Yeah, he used to do Pam's House, wasn't it? Nolan used to do that. He might. It's like a big, big rave thing.
Yeah, asking me about raves is like asking a fish to flash rave.
Straight up at top of end.
I think it's got to be done, Alan, just get Ian to a rave.
Yeah, just, hey, that would be good. The mission of 2023, get Ian to a rave.
Yeah, that's it.
I thought the mission of 2023 was to get Ian to a Spartan.
That's not my mission. That's Graham Wells' mission to get you to a Spartan.
That's true, yeah. And he quite kindly sent us his Discord cords, which was nice of him. That was another annoyance, wasn't it? The 80% cord never arrived, despite me waiting for it. But yeah, Wild Runner fans, if you're not aware, Tough Mudder gave everyone at the start of the year 20%, which was going to be the best ever discount you'll get, and then they did a 40% and a 60%, and yeah, great. Well done, guys.
Let's keep discounts out below.
That's what we were talking about earlier. We want disabilities to criticise. We work with Tough Mudder and Spartan because they've been really kind with us as well, haven't they, Al?
Yeah. They give us some great media access to ETM and things like that. And they've worked with us. We're on their mailing list for press releases and things like that. So we get to hear about things. You know, that's exactly what all we wanted, isn't it? We want to be able to bring news to the runners.
See, I would love to have someone from Spartan on. I would love that. I'm not too sure if they would do after hearing some of the things we've said, but but like you said, it's coming from a place of passion and caring. It's not a case of, because if I hate, you know, if I didn't like Spartans, guess what, I wouldn't go to their races. It's quite simple. So yeah, I'd love to have someone from Spartan come on the podcast.
Well, we could probably get you the head judge fairly easy. That'd be an easy win for us. Yeah. But as for how much you could, yeah, how much influence he'd have. But yeah, if you wanted the head judge on, we could possibly sort that.
You up for that, Dan?
Yeah, we'll do it, man. You know we love Spartan chat.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds good.
Would you all ring Mike or shall I?
I'll let you ring him. let's get him on now. Let's ring him.
Yeah, invite him in.
You know what? If you sent him the link, he'd probably come on. If he was free. Yeah, if he was free, he'd pop on.
Well, guys, I'm conscious of the time, so obviously we're pretty pushing on over an hour now. But I did tell a lie. We do have four questions written down, and they're the same four questions which we ask every single guest. So I don't know why I've got them written down, because I should really remember them after the best part of 2 years of doing this. So I'll ask the question, and then you can decide which one of you goes first, but you can both answer separately. So the first one is, what is your favourite brand of running kit?
See, now you're getting me now, because I actually get some free stuff sent to me, and have I got to mention them, or can I just mention anything?
You can be totally honest. What is your favourite? And it doesn't have to be shoes. It can be T-shirts, packs. I know you're a gear. You like your gear, Alan, so I'm expecting...
Oh, yeah. I go through phases. So, at the minute, I'm a big VJ fan. Yeah, so VJ shoes. I love VJ shoes. I've actually bought some Innovate very recently, some Innovate Trailfly G300s. And they're pretty good. They haven't shrunk yet, which is good. They're pretty good shoes. Clothing wise, I found a brand called Artilect, and they do the best shirts ever. They are so soft on your skin. They're really lightweight. Really, really good running. But I also love Innovate stuff. I do live in Innovate clothing. Don't rate the shoes, as you know, but I do like their clothing. Yeah,
I'm going to check out that Artilect.
Yeah, a Garmin watch. I'm a Suunto fan, but I bought a Garmin.
Yeah, we're both Garmin as well, aren't we, Dan?
Yeah.
Garmin, Ian, what's your favourite brand?
Okay, well, I'm a bit cheaper than Alan, and I don't get sent stuff. So let's see. Well, I always rave about these, but for socks, Rat Race socks, you cannot go wrong with Rat Race socks. They are really good. They're expensive for what I pay. Usually, I think it's 25 quid for a bundle of five or a bundle of 10. Sometimes they come with bivy bags. Sometimes they don't come with bivy bag. Depends what they're doing that particular week. Shoes. I guess for road running, I tend to use Brooks, but I've no real preference. Heart rate monitor, MyZone. We love our MyZone, don't we, Alan? It's if only because it proves I'm a better athlete than Alan because I get more MEPs. Or actually, that might prove the opposite, that an easy run for Alan puts me in the red. And when it comes to clothing, honestly, I use a lot of Decathlon stuff. I will tend to, for shorts, I always want a pocket. And for shirts, providing it doesn't chafe, I'm not really that mithered.
Yeah. What do you listen to when you run?
Podcasts.
Yeah.
Mine depends. For a slow run, I'll listen to podcasts. For a long run, a long run is a slow run. For an interval run, I'll listen to music.
Cool.
What music do you listen to, Ian? Can I see it, Ian? I wonder what music you listen to.
It tends to be a mix of rock and maybe poppy stuff, anything that's a bit fast, or some movie stuff like the old Rocky stuff, or anything that's on a sports movie tends to find its way into my playlist.
Can't beat Rocky. Rocky's the best ever.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and a lot of old 90s new metal rock as well, because that's quite good to run to. Nothing better than air guitaring to some Limp Bizkit as you're running past a old lady waiting for the bus.
So the next question is, you're stuck on a desert island. You can run already, but what one piece of fitness equipment would you take with you?
Oh, my own heart rate so I can beat Ian.
Let him know he's still alive.
Does this desert island have electric?
Yeah, let's say it does.
So in that case, I'd take my indoor bike because you can do so much with it, and it has a screen, and you can hopefully it has Wi-Fi on this desert island as well, because I could then download yoga and stuff to the screen. Perfect.
This is sounding like a very luxury desert island. This is like Richard Branson's island, isn't it?
It's only one piece though.
Yeah.
Does it have a bar as well? Does this desert island have a bar?
Should we just call it Paradise Island by the sounds of it? And the last question is, what one bit of advice would you give to a new runner?
Enjoy yourself. I always say, if you're not enjoying running, then don't go out and enjoy yourself. Find whatever you do in running that you enjoy it. Because if you don't enjoy it, it becomes so much harder.
I'd echo that, and I'd add in, slow the hell down. Because everyone, when they start running, will run like you are as a kid, and will sprint off, and will wind yourself, and probably injure yourself, and you'll never run again. Yeah, if you can't naturally slow down, listen to the coach to 5K. It works.
I'll jump on with that, and just because I don't think everyone knows about my running history. So when I first started running in 2011, so 11 years ago, I weighed just short of 26 stone, and I couldn't breathe. I was borderline alcoholic, and I mean borderline alcoholic. I think nothing of coming home from work and drinking 20 cans of Foster's every night. So I was really borderline. And something in my life changed, and I got out and decided I wanted to get fitter, because I was fitter as a younger lad. I played football and that. But I literally ran from my house to a lamppost, and I was out of breath, and I walked home. Then the next day I decided I was going to do it again, and I went to two lampposts, and I walked home, and then three, and then four. And I gradually, it took me nearly 12 months to actually become someone who could run 5 kilometres without stopping. I'd lost a lot of weight by then, but yeah, go slow, take your time. But for me, I always enjoyed it. You know what I mean? There's no point. It was hard, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. So just enjoy it and persevere with it.
And Alan, I'm going to pick up that point as well. Don't beat yourself up if you have to stop. So many of us get this ego of, oh, I'm going to run 5K without stopping. If you need a walking break, just walk. Mm. No one's watching you. There's no running Santa who's got an elf on the shelf who's going to, I don't know, take back your running gear if you happen to take a 10 seconds walking break. No, it's your run. Just do it.
Did any of you guys see the news this week about that girl who broke marathon PB? She's been running for 8 months. Not marathon PB, park run PB, sorry. She's been running for 8 months, and she set herself a goal of breaking the hour barrier. and she did it at the weekend in 59.59.
Nice.
So
that's awesome news. Yeah, have we reached out to her yet?
Yeah, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant. And I don't know, I'm going to put you on the spot because I've got one other question for you. In the new year, will you come back on the show as the race director of Overload and talk about obviously putting a race on? I'm intrigued to know the ins and outs of it. So, and obviously, and it's a way that we can advertise your race because you don't do it on your podcast. So I'm happy, happy to do it on ours to try and get you more signups early on in January.
Always happy to come on.
Cool. Nice one. I mean, that's it from us. Have you guys got any questions you wanted to fire at us?
Oh, yeah, getting with my list.
Yeah, come on. I thought you were prepped, guys.
I hope that list wasn't for us.
Jesus, I know. I dread to think what they've dug up if that's the case. let's end it now.
Press the big red button, start recording. Yeah,
that's it. Records and everything.
Actually, this is the worst prepared I think I've ever come on a podcast. I guess the big one is, well, you kind of answered it, but what are your plans in 2023?
What, Wild Runners or personally?
Both.
Anything, yeah.
I don't know, do we have any plans for Wild Runners? Yeah. I don't know. I think for Wild Runners, we'd like to try and just do a couple more meetups. I think that would probably be my goal for it. We've kind of done like one a year. We've got one in the diary at the moment. Maybe try and get another one in there as well. That would probably be my sort of goal for Wild Runners. Race-wise, for me next year, I'm all about the Spartan Ultra in October. I really want to have a good crack at that and really like attack it. That's my sort of goal, really. And all the other races are just going to be training and getting ready for that.
Yeah, I'd echo that, really. It's I'd love to have a few more meetups. It's just hard. We've both got young families and that as well at the moment. So kind of takes a little bit of priority. My personal one, running-wise, is to hopefully now the age group series. Done my first competitive year this year, just to test the water, and loved it. So gonna go all out next year. Now they've finally released a series, I know what I can focus on, really.
You're not tempted by the Elite, which you can qualify for by the cost of two other ticket prices?
No, I wouldn't want to show them up.
No, that's big of you. That's big of you. A follow-up, though, is in terms of a podcast, what I hate us getting asked this question, so I'm going to ask it. What are your plans going forward? Like, where do you want to... obviously, you want it to grow, but where would you like to take it?
Well, I'd just like more, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, everyday people coming on. Like I alluded to earlier, and no disrespect to them, I don't really want to interview the Elite runners. You know, no disrespect to them, they're fantastic at what they do. I've got a lot of respect and admiration for what they can do, but I've heard their story before. It's the people like me and Dan, like the age group people or the open people, I want to hear about their stories, how they got into it. And I think bringing that to people is more, personally, I find that more motivational than any Elite story. So that's, I'd like to find more people like that, but those people don't typically shout about their story, so it's quite difficult to unearth them. So if you listen to this and you're an age group or an open runner or any type of runner and you want to come on, feel free, drop us a message and we'll have you on.
I like all that. Feel free to use our social medias to ask for people. If you want to do that, you're free to use them. We would never stop anyone from doing that.
Oh, nice one. Appreciate that, Alan.
Yeah, thank you.
I've got no questions, mate, and I'm like, I'm pretty cool. I'm chilled today.
You are. To be fair, this has actually been really, really nice. I joked about being ill prepared, but that was deliberate. We didn't have to prepare for this one. It was. I've never felt so relaxed on a podcast ever.
Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment. So thank you very much, Ian. I think end it there, guys. But thank you very much for coming on. I really enjoyed it. And if you haven't listened to the UKOCR podcast, or Swift Half podcast, or the High Rocks podcast, or just any of their podcasts, there's lots of them. Check them out. They're really good. Highly recommend it. But gents, thank you very much for having you on. And thanks for listening, people.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.